Praise God. How many of you guys have been enjoying our series on a cult of character? Sweet. How many of you guys feel like the Lord's been challenging you? You've been changing. Amen. Your life's been changing. Nobody. Three people. Sweet. God's been changing your life since we've been talking about our character. Come on, hands. How many of you guys? God's really been challenging you. Okay. Sweet. I've been really waiting and just kind of storing up for this last portion of our series on a call to character, and it's in purity. And I'm really excited about it. How many of you guys are excited about this? This is such an important part of who we are as believers. And I'll just give you the title of my message today. Today's message is called Take Your Stand, which... Who could have guessed? Okay. And next week and the following week after that, I have two more messages. One is called There's Power in Your Purity, and the purity is your platform. So I really have a lot of, I believe, really good things that the Lord has laid on my heart for us. And we have a couple more messages. Pastor Reed is going to preach a message to probably the following week. And I know the Lord's got a couple other things brewing. I know that we'll probably end up touching on sexual purity and the purity of our motives, what is really motivating us as believers. So I'm really excited about this series, and I'm really believing that God is going to transform our community, and that if people can't taste of us and taste the Lord in us, and it's good, and it's not tainted by impurities in our life, that's a good thing. And that is how, when they meet you and encounter you, all of a sudden they taste something good from you, and they're actually tasting the Lord. Amen? So that's what we want, and in this series, I'm just believing that God is going to do that. That as we meet here week after week, that the Lord is just going to move in each one of our lives, and that we're going to be different. Amen? When this series is over. So let's pray. No, let's not pray. Let's read the Word first. Let's not do that. Let's not pray and then have to pray again, because every time I read the Bible, I feel like I need to pray. So turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. It's right after Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse 12. If you got it, say, I got it. If you're looking, say, I'm looking. If you don't have a Bible, say, oops. Oops. Dang, that was a lot of oopses. Dang it. All right, here it is. Listen intently to the word of the Lord. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your word would just be illuminated in our hearts. God, that our lives would just be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Pour out your spirit on us now, God. We ask for your blessing today, God. Your blessing on your word. God, that we would just have a fresh revelation about who you are and who you are in our lives, and God, what we are actually capable of. God, what we can live to, the standard that we can live to. Purify our lives. Transform us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Important things about the Lord right here in this scripture, huh? Some really important things that you and I need to be aware of. We need to know We need to know all about this concept of sin and desire and temptation. One of the most important things here that God makes known to us in the scripture here is that God is not the source of temptation in your life. Amen? He is not the source or the tempter. Being tempted is much different than being tested. Testing is a circumstance that tests the quality of your character. Temptation is something that comes along that entices your sinful desires, that tries to drag you alongside somewhere and get you to fall into some kind of sin, really. And sin is really something, is your desire being birthed into a reality. Your sinful desires taking a physical shape or form, being born. Amen? You know, I remember when I was a young man, I had a lot of desires. I'm a pretty passionate guy. I've pretty much always been that way. I'm a pretty adventurous guy. And I remember growing up, you know, I liked stuff that had power. I liked riding on snow machines with a lot of horses in them. And, I mean, when I was young, we had snow machines and motorcycles and four-wheelers and all kinds of junk. Tractors. I'd be driving tractors when I was like 10. It was fun. Yeah, they're slow, but tractors are powerful. I'd be knocking trees over. I remember one time we had this backhoe out, and I got James Phillip in this backhoe. He gets in this backhoe. I mean, it's a big one, too. And we get it all set up, and we're out there digging a hole out at the summer camp. We're working on the obstacle course, and he goes, "Can I drive it?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, I don't know. This isn't a good idea." James is crazy. I don't know if you guys don't know James, but he's crazy. So he jumps in this thing, and I kind of give him the lowdown on how it kind of works, and I'm just like, "Just be careful." So he gets in, and he's like, I'm not kidding. His eyes get huge. Andrew, am I not kidding? He's like, and he grabs a big old niche, the scoopy niche thing on the backhoe, right? The actual hoe. And he gets the claws all the way out. And he's moving it around. I mean, the whole thing's like, I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And he sees this little tree down there, right? I mean, this little baby tree. Everybody say desire. When desire gives birth, it becomes sin. James Phillips. "I will destroy you." Right? He extends this thing, I mean, all the way out. And then he like, and the shadow of this boom is over this little tiny tree. And he looks at it for a second. And then you see the evil in his eyes give birth. And he lowers the boom on this thing. Boom! I mean, like, full weight of like 2,000 pounds of this gigantic hoe just and just crushes this tree. Dude. And he's like, and he lifts it up. And this little tree is just stuck and impaled with metal forks on the end of this scoop. It's hanging up there. It's like, "Why me?" And he pulls it up. He's like, and it falls off. And he's like, the desire in his heart had been made a reality. Poor James needed a little sister to pick on when he was a kid. Oh my gosh, that was a sight to see. You know, when I was young, I had desires to. My dad had all these vehicles laying around, and he was always wanting me, you know, "You can do it under my supervision," but he had this motorcycle. This thing was awesome. Dude, I was I think I was 13 or 12, and I mean, I barely weighed like a buck 25 or something, and my dad would work week on, week off out on the platform, so when he was gone, I'd always be tempted. All this stuff is laying around, there's nobody around, and all these toys are just laying around just calling to me. We want you. Come drive us. So this one day, I get up the nerve and I go out. And my dad can hardly start this motorcycle. The engine is so big on it. And I don't know CCs and all that kind of junk. But, dude, he'd work on it and work on it and work on it. And I learned this thing about, push starting, vehicles like three-wheelers and all this kind of stuff. And so I thought, you know what? I bet if I get this motorbike and I flip out the kickstart on it and I hold in the clutch and I just push it and have this little hill that it would kind of roll down. I bet if I push it and jump on it and kickstart at the same time and kick it over all at the same time, I bet I could start it, you know. It was pretty risky because it was so heavy I could hardly even like move it, right? So I get on this thing and it's huge, right? And I'm pushing, I'm like, and I get it going down this hill, and I run as fast as I can next to it, and I jump on it, and I flip the little thing out, and I go, bam! And I just go like, blah! I go into a full wheelie. Blah! I'm just out of control. Out of control. Somehow, I get the front tire back down, and I'm off to the races. I take that. I must have driven it for 2 or 3 hours, guys. I was having the time of my life. This thing was, like, powerful. And it gets all muddy. And now, awesome, like, yeah, I'm all covered with mud. My brother's in the house is going, you are a fool. So I go park it. I'm like, yeah. And I, you know, whatever, I leave. And I'm like, yes, nobody's ever going to know. I got off with it, right? So my dad comes home. And it's the first day he's home. And he comes and he goes, Josh, so what have you been doing? I'm like, oh, you know, homework. Fun stuff like that. He's like, yeah, I've been riding my motorcycle, have you? He doesn't ask my brother. My brother basically never left the house. I mean, yeah, there was just no way. My brother is the complete polar opposite of me. I mean, he folds laundry for fun. I'm serious. Ask him. He still does it. So, yeah, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not actually. He probably doesn't do it for fun anymore. Anyway, so my dad goes, really? Really? You haven't been doing it? Hey, let's go for a walk. So he takes me for a little walk. We're strolling. I'm getting a little bit nervous. I'm like, how could he ever know? I mean, I seriously went, covered all the tracks up, you know, on the driveway and all that kind of stuff so he wouldn't know. Filled it back up with gas. He takes me over to it. The thing is covered with mud. One minor detail. I worked so hard on covering up my tracks all over the other, in all other ways. I didn't even wash it. See, when we're left alone to our own desires, when we get out away from the covering, either of people or the covering of the truth, okay? And we're left alone and we just kind of get out our own ways. We're tempted. Based on what? What's inside of us already? The enemy didn't have to stir up some great big desire in my heart to go after that motorcycle and get in it. No, he just waited for the opportunity when everybody would be away. And he goes, I know my breath stinks, I'm sorry. Josh, come on. Get on that thing. James, just kill it. No one can do anything. You're in control. They come, just hit them with the backhoe. Right? And he begins to tempt you when you're alone. When you're alone with what? When you're alone with your desires. When you're alone with your desires. The enemy, that's when he comes. This is not the Lord. This is when the enemy comes and he tries to entice you and pull you away and give in to those sinful desires that are in your heart. You know, one minor point that I want to make here is that, listen, guys, someone always knows. As my daddy knew, my father knew, no matter how hard I tried to cover up those tracks, at some point my father was going to know. Your Father in heaven, he sees everything you do. And he's going to see that dirt on the bike, guys. And eventually, you might get away with it, riding that motorcycle 2-3 times, killing those trees. And maybe nobody will see you. I don't know if that was really sin, what James did, but it was funny. But eventually, your sin will be found out. There will be the Lord will illuminate that the light on that those dark places, and someone is going to find out. There will be consequences for your sinful desires, but the Lord is always going to know and see that dirt on your motorcycle. This is something that's really important when we get alone, guys, when we're alone and our desires are tempted. See, I'm not tempted to do a lot of things, because they're not desires in my heart. Not often am I tempted to kiss another man. Seriously, I'm not. Now, I know some people are, and that's their temptation. But it's not mine, glory to God. And some of us are tempted when there's just a dollar bill sitting on the table at a restaurant and we're walking by. Ooh, nobody would know. It's just a dollar. There it goes in my bank account. It's like that cursed money from, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean. You take that money, all of a sudden it's cursed. I promise you, God's not going to bless that money that you steal. All of a sudden, it's going to rob you. You think you're increasing, you're decreasing. Okay? When we're alone, our desires get stirred up and tempted by the enemy. But you're not going to be tempted in something you don't have a desire for. So the most important element here, guys, is not that you're going to be tempted. Because I promise you, the enemy will come and tempt you. But what are your desires? What do you really desire? And are you okay with these desires just making a home and staying root in your life? It's your desires for power, for wealth, for acceptance, for love, lust, identity, belonging. What are your desires? See, God wants to make our desires. He wants our desires to be His desires. When the Bible says that when you ask and pray, He will give you the desires of your heart, it's not a reference to the sinful desires and your sinful nature. It's according to the desires that God begins to plant in your life and to birth in your life. When you ask according to those desires, then He's going to answer your prayers. But when you are alone or out and you're trying to gratify your sinful nature and go after those sinful desires in your life, okay, these aren't the things that glorify the Lord and that produce good and healthy fruit in our lives. Amen. These are the things that destroy us. The Bible says that we can renew our minds by the word of truth. Amen. And that the Bible and God's truth and His word and God's presence can actually transform our desires to be like His desires. If you want to look up those scriptures, they're in Romans. The book of Romans talks about how our minds can be transformed and renewed by the word of God. So, what do we do with these desires? And what do we do with this temptation in our life? How do we fight this? How do we fight?
No. Don't fight.
How do we fight? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I'd like to take just a sneak peek at Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. You can turn your Bibles there. And let's see how our Master, how our Lord fought temptation. Because he was tempted. And sometimes we think, what? How could Jesus be tempted? He was tempted by Lucifer himself, came in person to try to tempt the Lord, to try to entice, to find out if Jesus maybe had some kind of sinful desire in him that he could entice. But we'll see. For the love. We'll see what the Lord does here. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Say hungry. Would you say that him being hungry would be a desire? I believe so. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell all these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was tempted to fulfill his fleshly desires, right? The desires in his flesh to eat. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. How many guys have ever not eaten for 40 stinking days? How many of you have not eaten for one day? How about 5 days? Okay. Now, after you get over 2 or 3 days in a fast, your whole body just gets totally jacked up. It just goes into like shock. It's weird. And I cannot even imagine what 40-day fast would be like. Some ways I hope the Lord never calls me to one. Oh, great. It's probably going to happen now. All right. All of a sudden, when the Lord is tempted on his desire, it's not an evil desire to be hungry. But the enemy goes, look, you can just break all this stuff right now and eat. Just turn all this food into bread. Jesus goes, no. God's called me to something higher. There's something more spiritual here. See, I'm not going to give in to my earthly desires because I know that my heavenly desires, my desire to please my Father in heaven who called me into this fast, who called me to seek his face right now, that's just more important. It's not time for me to break my fast. It's not time. See, I'm living on something else. I got a food that you do not know of, right? The food is the Word of God. That is my bread. See, I'm going to live on that. What is Jesus doing right there, guys? If you look in Ephesians chapter 6, he says that we're to put on the full armor of God. And that we're to have the belt buckle of truth girded around our waist. And we're to fight with our sword, which is the word of truth. Amen? See, that word of truth is not only the belt buckle, the center. See, the foundation. See, all of your balance comes from the center of who you are. Your belt buckle of truth. All sports athletes know this. All coaches teach this in just about every single sport. Maybe not swimming. I don't know. But any kind of mobile sport, they always talk about your center. If you're going to play basketball against somebody and they're moving around, they can do all kinds of stuff with their hands and feet and their eyes, but you focus on their waist. You focus on their hips. You focus right on the center of who they are, because that tells you the truth. It'll tell you the truth about where they're going. Football, basketball, lacrosse, cricket, ping pong. No. It's in the center. The center of who you are. It's the balance of who you are. It needs to be centered in the truth of the word. I want you to look in Ephesians 6 real quick. I want to read this scripture. Ephesians 6. And verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, right? When the temptation or the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition of all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We're to take up the sword of the Spirit and to be girded with the belt of truth. We begin in the truth and we what? End with the truth. You need to be centered in the Word, but you also need to learn to use the Word as a weapon in the fight. See, as your desires begin to be tempted by the enemy, you've got to be centered in the truth. You've got to know the truth as Jesus knew the truth, right? But then you also have to know how to use the truth to combat the enemy. You can't just stand in the truth. You've got to be able to take that thing and beat it up against the side of the head of the enemy. Just like that. It's interactive day. Amen? See, Jesus, obviously, being God and fully intimate with His Father, knew how to fight this fight. Even after fasting for 40 days, His flesh was tremendously weak, but guess what was strong in the Lord? Strong in the presence of God was His Spirit. See, He was fasting and spending intimate time with God the Father and building up His Spirit man and in the Word of God so that He could stand firm in the truth of who God is and His Word and fight with the sword of the Spirit. This is what we got to do. It's not, are you going to have desires? It's not if temptation's going to come. It's not if the day of the evil one is going to come about. Ooh, big surprise. You're going to be tempted. What are you going to do? How are you going to fight? What do you really know? What do you really believe? Do you know? Because I promise, the enemy is crafty. He is deceptive. And he knows you. He knows you. He studies you. He sends his little demons out there to study you. To study your weaknesses. To know your desires. And then guess what? He comes and he tempts you. He doesn't tempt Jesus with a bunch of wine and alcohol on this day to get drunk. He doesn't tempt Jesus with these other things. No, he comes with his best attack. Break your fast. Don't do what the Lord told you to do. Come on, disobey. Give in to what your fleshly desires want to do. And then guess where else he takes him? He takes Jesus up. Let's go back to Matthew. What does he do? He takes Jesus up on the mountainside, right? He takes him up and he says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Pride. Look, you can do anything you want. The pride of life. You're your own man. Come on, show off. Show me what you can do. Come on, if you're really the Son of Man, come down off that tree. Show us what you're really made of. If he really was the Son of God, he wouldn't have let them do that. But Jesus said, I could have called down all my angels like that. And the Lord would have just... He could have done it. He could have jumped off of there. But he said, no, listen. Humility. Don't put your Lord the God, the Lord your God to the test. That's what the Word of God says. He stood firm in the truth, and he beat the devil over the head with it. He said, I don't think so. See, he knew that Jesus was the full incarnate power of God, and he could exercise it at any moment that he wanted to. See, he knew it. He came with his best attack. He didn't come with some weak sauce little thing. He came with his best attack. And then he goes to him, and he takes him, and guess what? He saves the best for last. He takes him on the high on the mountainside, and he shows him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and the angels came to attend him. Come on. See, the enemy goes, look, the same lie that he believed himself when he thought that he could persuade a third of the angels in heaven to overthrow the Lord our God. He thought that he could be like the Most High. Then he tries to overthrow God, and he gets cast down into hell, and now he's the prince of, right, this world. And so then he comes, and he, as the serpent, he speaks in the ear of the woman, Eve, and he tempts her based on her desires to be like God, to be her own God. See, he came with his best attack. Jesus, look, come on, we could do this, you and me. We could take it all over. You're the fullness of the power. Come on. Bow down to me and I'll give it all to you. Because Satan, he knew he had stolen the keys of the kingdom of the world. He had them in his hand. He's like, look, come serve me. And I'll give all this to you. I'll put it under your feet. See, what did the Lord tell Jesus? The Father said that if you die for me, then I will lift you up, and all of the world and all your enemies and everything will be your footstool. He's trying to deceive the Lord and tell him, look, I can do this for you. You don't need your Father to do this for you. I can do it. Let's take the easy road right now, and I'll just give you all that power that he was going to give you anyway. I can do it for you. Come on, just take the easy road right now. He's tempting his desires to be God, to be number one, the big honcho, the head. Hinga dingy. What do you want to be? What are your desires? Do you know what they are? Do you know what your main desires are in life? Your main sinful desires? Have you identified them? Because if you haven't, I know someone who has. And I know he's bringing his best attack to you. If he can stop you now, if he can tempt you now, in your youth, and get you to just live according to however you want to live, to just be your own God. Power, lust, wealth, independence. What is it? If you're not willing to take an honest look at yourself and become aware of your weakness, become aware of your sinful desires, man, I'll tell you what, you're in for a ride. Because the enemy, he is crafty. He is a crafty little dude. He's a crafty little devil. He's so crafty. Where's my scripture? 1 Corinthians. Okay, I want you to think about these two things. There are two options that you have when you're going to fight against your desires. I'm just going to go right here. I really want to get back into worship today. There's two options that you have right now. You can stand and you can fight. This is what Jesus did in this example. He stood his ground, stood firm in the truth, and he fought against the enemy's schemes and plans against him. Amen? And he beat the devil over the head with the word of God. He fought with his sword and he stood in the truth. Amen? You can stand firm and you can fight with the truth, or you can run. See, there are two very important tactics in war. When we go into war, we stand firm with our best strategy, and our best strategy spiritually is the word of truth. Okay? And then there's another part of the strategy in war, is when you feel like you're about to get beat, you run. Retreat! Right? This is actually a really good strategy. Pretty much every single war on both sides, people retreat. Because they know that their army, their forces are about to get wiped out. See, they know they've lost the battle. So they're like, we can't win now. If we stay here in this position, we gonna get smoked. Every last one of us. So the general goes, no, it's time to pull out. Let's go. We're out of here. He sounds the retreat. Does it by a horn. He yells. Little super intercom, Nietzsche, like the, you know, they might use today. But the reality is they retreat. If you look in Genesis chapter 39, you'll see how Joseph did this. And I call this the Joseph principle because Joseph did it. Genesis 39 and verse 7. Let's just go there really quick. So you can do what? You can stand firm in the truth and fight, or you can what? Retreat. You can run. So Joseph gets taken to Egypt, put into slavery, right? And he's serving under this guy named Potiphar. And he's kicking it at Potiphar's place, and he's getting elevated, and he's basically in charge of Potiphar's entire household, right? But the thing is that Potiphar's wife has got the hots for him. She just thinks he's cute. Little Jewish boy comes strolling in. All of a sudden, Potiphar's wife begins to tempt him. Where are we at? Verse 7. Now Joseph was well built, and he was handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of him. Every time he walks in the room, disco music began to play in her mind. Come to bed with me. No, he said. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he is entrusted into my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, when he went into the house to attend his duties, none of the household servants was inside. He was alone. She caught him by his cloak. Ah! And he said, or she said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand. He's like, ah, you freak. And he ran out of the house. What happens is she hangs on to the cloak and she takes the cloak before her master and says, "Look at what your servant did. He tried to take me." Probably didn't say it in that voice. Of course, she was maybe possessed by a demon. We don't really know. What did Joseph do first? Joseph's first line of defense was, "No, here's the truth. My master's put me in charge of your household. How could I do such a wicked thing? This is against God and my master. How could I do that?" He stands in the truth. Then he tries to avoid her, but all of a sudden, he gets caught alone with her. And there was nothing he could do. The enemy is crafty. Say crafty. See, he's crafty. He knows how to tempt you. He knows how to do it. You're going to get set up. Listen, at some point, you are going to get set up. Instead of her just talking, she's taking action now. She jumps on him. She's like, "Come to bed with me." He's like, at some point in the levels of the temptation that are coming, you need to realize that there are no options left. You stand firm in the truth. You're like, no. With your word. But all of a sudden you just go, "I'm going to get smoked. It's time to run." Say the Joseph principle. You got to remember this. Men, you need to remember this. Women, listen, when you got this guy that's just trying to tempt you and he's telling you, "You're so beautiful. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. You're so pretty. No one's ever had eyes like you've got." Come on. All of a sudden, you're just like, "Oh, come on. Stop it now." He's like, "God, you?
Now you doing?"
And you're just like, "Oh, good." And he gets you, "Let's go see a movie."
"Oh, come. Stop it."
And he won't give up. You're like, "No." And he just keeps fanning a flame to those things that you know are in your desires. Because you know what? You want to belong to somebody. You want to feel important. You want to be loved. Right? You want to identify with someone that just thinks you're beautiful. And that guy just starts fanning a flame to that thing, right? He's tempting you. Now all of a sudden, with enough persistence, like Potiphar's wife, just begins to break down your defenses. And all of a sudden, you're caught in a moment where you're just weak, and you've had a bad day, and maybe...
He's like, "Why does he keep touching me?"
Because David usually sits there and he's used to it. Like every message on these podcasts and everything would be like, "Why does he keep talking about David?" It's the man in the front row, if anybody wants to know. He keeps getting touched.
"I'm not tempting you, son."
All of a sudden, your desires, your defenses have been broken down, and the only thing left is your desire to be accepted and loved and known, right? And you go to that movie with him, and then he takes it to the next level. He's got the music going on in the car, the emu music. What is that stuff? The emu music. Right? What is it? Emo? Elmo. Elmo. Emo. Emo. I'm down. You know, I'm hip. I'm fresh. What's up, dog? You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you think, "Oh, I would never date some guy that drinks. I would never date some guy that doesn't know the Lord or love the Lord. I would never do that. That's ridiculous. But then you catch yourself, you're on a date with this guy. Because he's been fanning a flame. The enemy's brought someone to you that knows your weakness. And it doesn't matter if his character wasn't enough or isn't to the par, the level that you desire it to be at. All of a sudden, your defenses have been taken down. What do? You no longer could stand firm. No, this guy, he doesn't love God. He doesn't love the Word. He isn't a man of character. You're like, but he likes me. He says my eyes are so pretty. He thinks I'm so beautiful. No one ever talks to me like that. All of a sudden, you catch yourself dating some guy that doesn't know the Lord. And you think, how did I ever get here? See, when your desire gives birth, when it's tempted, it gives birth to sin. After it's been tempted and you act on that desire, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. You've got to know where your desires, your sinful desires, you've got to know where they are and what they are, so that when the enemy comes with his attack, when he comes to bring his temptations on you, you know either it's time to stand firm and fight, or it's time to run. You need to know the battle. And you need to know the battle of desires and temptation. You can battle these desires deep on the inside, intimate part of who you are with the Word of God, and allow it to transform you so that those desires disappear. That's true victory. But the reality is that we have desires right now that we have got to guard. And you guard them with the Word of truth. And you guard them with sound principles. Amen? You know when to stand and fight, and you know when to run. Sometimes you retreat and run, and you find high ground, and you stand and fight again. Grr! Right? Romans 6:12 says this, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you can obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body as to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Say grace. God has given you the grace to overcome your sin. God has given you the grace to understand and to know the truth and to use it to fight. He has given you the grace to have a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Say stand. It's time to take your stand. See, it's time for you to take your stand up under the Word of truth. And the truth is that God will not allow you to be tempted in a way that you cannot bear it. It doesn't say that He will tempt you. He will not allow the enemy to tempt you in a way that you cannot bear it. And He will always provide a way out. See, you can take your stand against the schemes of the enemy. Because he's got schemes. Let me tell you. They're pretty much the same schemes throughout all eternity. But he's crafty. And you need to understand your desires. Understand how he wants to tempt you. So that you can find your way of escape. And plan out your route of escape. When a general takes his army into battle, he never goes into battle unless he's a complete fool. Like General Custard was a complete fool. So cocky, took all of his men into this valley with no way of escape, and they were absolutely slaughtered. good generals, people with wisdom, never go into battle or a place of danger where they don't have a way of escape. See, you've got to be wise, and you have to plan your way of escape. If some girl or if that guy comes to me and starts trying to tell me how cute I am and how special I am and how much I need them, how much the Lord told them they're supposed to be with me, God gave me a prophetic word. He said, you're going to be my wife. You're supposed to be my wife. You're like, dude, he didn't say anything to me. But you're like, I don't want to miss the one that's for me, the one that God made for me. What if he's right? Come on. When that guy or that girl comes to you and they start trying to grab onto your cloak and drag you off to bed or drag you into your desire, try to pull you away and entice you into that desire, like it says in James, when that starts to happen, you've got to plan your way of escape. You've got to plan, how are you going to stand? What scriptures are you going to use when it's late at night and you're on the internet and being a complete one-pounder because you're on the internet and it's late at night? Don't be foolish. Don't take yourself into a place where there's no escape, right? Don't take yourself into a place where the temptation is going to be so great that you can't stand. Amen? Come on, what are you going to do? What scriptures are you going to use? What parameters are you going to put on your life so that you can control these desires and keep the enemy from tempting you? Do you have the courage to go in there, men, and yank out that internet cord and just throw that sucker away? You think you could live without the internet? If the temptation and the desire is so great that you keep falling and falling in pornography, you're tempted over and over and over. Run! Joseph principle. If you can't stand on the word in that situation, yank the sucker out, burn it. Burn it. Just throw it away. Your life won't end. It'll get better. You take away, you remove the temptation. If that girl is always at your workplace and you're standing and she kicks coming over to you, she's like, you're so cute. There's never been a guy that's worked here that's as hot as you. Feel your muscles, man. You're so strong. Quit your stinking job. If you start falling into sin with that girl and you can't help yourself, there's always a way of escape. Go find another job. Come on. It's the Lord will provide for you. Joseph ran and he got stuck in prison. It was better than falling into sin, wasn't it? Amen? You can stand and fight or you can run. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God has called you for holiness. God has called you into a righteous living and into a life that pleases Him and produces a great fruit for His kingdom, not into impure, sinful ways of living that destroy not only your own life and give birth to death, but destroy our communities. Amen? You can stand up. You can stand up in the Word of God and you can fight. And the Bible says in that scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has seized you. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, guys. And God is faithful that He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You can stand up under it. Will you stand with me right now? Gabby, will you come? Now I want you to just think about this. And some of you might say, well, Pastor, I just can't do it. I just can't stand in this. It just won't work. The Bible says that He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. There's no excuses. Yeah, the whole worship team can come here. There's no excuses, guys, gals. There's no excuses. We have run out of excuses. It's time that you take your stand for purity. It's time that you take your stand to live in holiness. God says, live holy as I am holy. Right? You and I can do this. The Word of God says that it's possible. It says we can. And today, I want to give you the opportunity to just worship. Worship alone. I want you to kind of put on your blinders. And I want you to just... We can just worship one song. Whatever song fits best here, Gabby. I don't care. Whatever. Now, the most important element here, guys, is this. Is that you are making a personal declaration to the Lord in your heart that you are going to stand for purity. Amen? As we begin to challenge you about purity, and we begin to challenge these elements of your desires and give you more tools and ways to fight this fight, amen, that you're going to be committed to stand for holiness, to stand for righteousness, to allow God to purify your life. But right now, it's time for you to make this commitment in your heart, to repent, to get your heart ready. If there's areas in your life that you already know you're living impure, you're not living according to the Word of God, you need to get it right now. Listen, let's take 5 minutes out of our life right now and just ask God to churn in our heart, to work in our heart, that we could stand up. Come on, that we could take our stand today for the Lord. How many of you guys are ready to take a stand? Come on. You're tired of living this way. You're tired of falling into these same temptations. These same impurities just keep coming up over and over and over. Today is your day. Take a stand. Amen? Let's take a stand. Let's just begin to worship. Take that stand in your heart.